Hi guys, guess who's back?
It's guess Britney, who's back?
I don't have an M, you told Britney.
If you've not listened before, we are a girl and a gay, otherwise known as Harriet and Bitchy, I mean Richie Swan. This is our no holds barred podcast on all things health, fitness and dieting for the modern day guy or girl.
So we're back. Actually, Series 1 went really well, didn't it, babe?
Yeah.
Like, we were in the Apple chart.
Yeah, we know we're famous. That's why we had to, like, take a little breather because of the paps.
Well, Mariah kicked off and she needed some time off. But, you know, she's cleared the diary.
Hold on, are you talking about me? Because I thought you were talking about yourself.
No, I'm talking about you. Basically, she's about to drop, so she's too fat to work. She's free to do another series. So, we've come back with a bit more. What have you been up to anyway? How have you been feeling?
Do you know what? Loads better. Fine now, actually. I feel like I'm in the easier bit now. It was shit the first bit, but now I feel fabuloso. Just got massive knockers and a big belly.
Does that mean you're going to be easier to work with this time?
So whilst I've been working extremely hard, what have you been doing, Brittany?
Well, I've been working really hard. I've been to Vegas. It was actually
really
good.
Do you know Christina was on the week after you left? Did you know that?
I was fuming. Christina, if you're listening, if by any chance you scroll across Girl and a Gay in a Gym on your podcast, I would love to meet you in Manchester. Just saying, Richie Swan on Instagram, get in touch.
We'll be wearing more fake tan on the night though.
If she gets in touch, I'll go with me chaps. Okay, so we're here for the whole of the summer. It's season 2.
Yeah, we're back, baby. We've got loads and loads more guests this time. Loads of advice, loads of kickoffs between me and him. This is going to be no bullshit, no sugarcoating. It is how it is. We're going to tell you all our secrets for all your diet and tips, how to work out, any little tips and tricks that we think might help you along the way in getting you back in that bikini and feeling fab this summer.
It's series 2, our first episode. And of course, the planning was down to me, so I just thought, why not bring a special guest on?
Every single time. You've never done your own work in your life.
I never had time to do my homework, but this is a good one, I'm telling you. She's on the phone because she couldn't be here, and I'm going to give you a clue who it could be. Push the button for me, boy.
Is it Heidi from the Sugar Babes?
It's Heidi from the Sugar Babes.
Hi.
Hiya, babe. You all right?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. Well, people are probably going to be listening going, how the hell does a girl and a gay in the gym from Liverpool? Well, obviously you're from Liverpool. No, we're sugar babe.
How do you know each other?
We've been friends for about, God, how long's it been, babe?
I've been friends with Richie since he was a chain smoker and at McDonald's every day.
I can't believe he just threw me
still does
the bus.
That now.
Was a little chubby boy.
Yeah. A chain smoker McDonald's chubster.
Before he turns into He-Man.
She-Ra. It's been about 16 years, hasn't it?
Yeah. God, don't say that. It makes me feel old.
I know. So, obviously, we're getting you on because you've got quite a lot to talk about. Had quite a few things going on with becoming a mum.
Yeah.
Getting married, settling down, yeah. Domestic bliss. But Harriet's also pregnant as well, aren't you, babe? Just, yeah. You're literally due to drop.
Congratulations.
Hardy, any tips, girl?
Just sleep as much as you can before the baby comes. Just put your feet up and get loads of sleep. And also, one of my biggest tips is when I had my daughter, Aurelia, when she came, I was so caught up in trying to like prove that I could still get on with everything and cope and getting out the door and, you know, saying, oh yeah, I'm going to take you to the park and I'm going to do this. When they're tiny, just stay at home and watch the telly and cuddle the baby, because once they're walking and they're active, you've got to get out with them. But just stay at home and enjoy the cuddles until they need to be out doing
That's
stuff.
Because
I was taking her to all the classes when she was like 8 weeks old, and now I think, why? You know, she didn't need to go to all that. So I'd say just chill out and enjoy your little bubble.
Joe, what? I think that's advice you're quite happy to hear, isn't it?
Yeah, I can't bear socialising, Hardy. I'd love to stay at home.
Harriet, you've felt quite sick being pregnant, haven't you?
Oh my God, I've hated it.
Like, you've had terrible
sickness.
Really? Yeah. How was you when you were carrying the baby?
I was really lucky with my pregnancy. I had a really straightforward pregnancy, and to the point where if I felt sick maybe a couple of times, and that made me really excited because I thought, oh well, it means everything's okay.
Yeah.
So I'd be like giggling to myself if I felt a little bit nauseous.
Mary, it's called big you right
I
now.
I would be giving you the worst snarl if you
were here. No, you don't have it plain sailing for everything. Like I came across my problems after the baby was born.
I had a
bad time when she was here with the breastfeeding, but my pregnancy and birth were really straightforward. So I think everyone always gets something that you struggle with a bit.
Yeah.
And we're all different. So, you know.
What was it that you went through after the baby was born?
I had mastitis.
Isn't it?
Yeah, a lot of women get mastitis.
What is mastitis, just for anyone listening who hasn't got a clue?
It's an engorgement of the breast, in your breast, and it's really painful.
Yeah, it's
agonizing.
So does that stop you from breastfeeding?
It can stop some women from breastfeeding, but in my case, it only happens in 1% of women. Mine spread into sepsis. I was taken into hospital and was in hospital for a week with sepsis, and that was quite serious. And
but you were just sat at home, weren't you? You felt terrible and you couldn't.
With your first baby, you don't know what's normal and what's not. And I just thought, I felt really run down, but I felt like I was getting a bit of like the flu. I was shivering, I was tired, but I just thought it's because I'm not getting any sleep. And it was only that, and obviously I was really struggling with the breastfeeding. Both breasts were torn to pieces. They were bleeding. They were huge. I was in agony with them. And I was spending hours trying to feed the baby and expressing. And anyway, I went to the doctors and got given antibiotics. But when the health visitor came out to see the baby, she noticed, like, me shaking uncontrollably, and I had blankets over me, and she said, you need to go to the hospital. So I just thought it was a bad case of mastitis, and I went, and then when I got there, they said, you've got sepsis, we're keeping you in, which scared the living daylights out of me, you know, but I'm fine, and more importantly, the baby's fine.
Did you struggle with losing baby weight after you had her?
If I'm honest, I still haven't lost all the baby weight. I keep getting to 2 pounds above what I was. And then I'll go out for a Sunday roast and I put another 2 back on. So I'm just hovering above where I was.
Wait there.
But
she says, we go out for a Sunday roast. We went out for a Sunday roast last week. And it's not just a Sunday roast. It was also 6 bottles of wine between 4 of us.
Well, actually, I didn't have the roast, if you remember, Mitch. I had a salad.
Oh, yeah, that makes it okay. She had a salad
and
2 bottles of wine.
So I haven't quite got there yet. But I go through phases of being really committed. And then I think, oh, God, life's too short. Like, Richie came down to London and we only get to see each other a few times a year. So I was like, I'm going to go out and have a drink and enjoy myself. I also think it's just not that important to me anymore. You know, there's more important. I would say at one point in my 20s, you know, my weight and size were really, really important.
We wanted to touch on that. Because obviously in your 20s, you were in the band, weren't you?
Yeah.
Probably like Little Mixes now. You're like the biggest thing in pop in the UK. In fact, in Europe, weren't you? Biggest girl band in Europe. That pressure to constantly be in shape, look good. What was that like?
I definitely felt under pressure, but I don't know if that was because I was in the band or whether that's the way a lot of teenage girls feel. I wouldn't know because that was just my situation, but you did feel scrutinized and it dominated a lot of time.
There wasn't like Instagram and Facebook and all those things, like, whereas now I think women, especially anyone in the public eye, and so many more people are in the public eye now because of Instagram, because they built themselves up from just a profile on something. You know, the idea of like these mad expectations that we have of other women, that's now led for us to sit there and people are editing pictures of themselves so they don't even look like themselves.
See, the funny thing is, like, I don't know how people, young people, cope with the pressure of Instagram now. I think it's insane, and I think it's really unhealthy.
Yeah.
But for me, when I was in the band, only towards the end of the band was Twitter and Facebook coming about. You know, it was before Instagram. The pressure came from the magazines, actually. You know, when I was in the group, you had magazines who would blow up a picture of your thigh and put a ring around your cellulite. You know, that was humiliating.
Yeah.
They basically humiliated people.
Is that what they did?
And drew attention to people's flaws. So it's different to Instagram, because with Instagram, people are posting them pictures of themselves and editing them themselves. But back then, you were humiliated by journalists.
It's mad, that, isn't it? Because now I think the world's changed a little bit, and because people are a lot more aware of the pressures on everybody, like not even just people in the public eye, I think they're a lot nicer. So I can't imagine, like, it'd be more rare now for a magazine to post a picture of somebody and say, look how bad this is.
I think because it's got to a point now, it's not acceptable anymore.
No, it's not. It's really isn't.
Yeah.
Especially with
that's good, you know. Yeah. And I think it's because people are more aware of mental health.
Well, I was just about to say that, yeah. But I remember an article posted about, and like, in the band, all three of you were like size 8 at least, where you're tiny. And someone posted, there was an article saying sugar lumps instead of sugar babes and stuff. Joe, well, thank God things have changed and moved on.
It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever have to change your routine? So, you know, say if you had like a tour coming up or you had a video coming up, would you diet for like an occasion? Because we talk about loads about like changing your diet and stuff like that, and people having something to look for, to aim for. Do you know what I mean? Did you used to get strict, or did you keep it all year round?
I was constantly on a diet the whole time. Yeah. You know, wouldn't eat carbs. I wouldn't have sugar. I was, and actually, I was the one. The other girls were naturally slim. I've always had to watch what I eat and be careful. So I think I was the one who had to work the hardest at it to try and keep the weight off.
We're going to be touching throughout the series, aren't we, about mad diets that people do. Have you ever followed like an extreme diet?
I've tried loads. I tell you once. We were working with Bruno Mars. It was before he'd come out as an artist, but we.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he'd come out.
Oh, there he is. Oh, like, he's back in. Shoot.
Sorry, go on.
We were working with him as a producer, and at that point, God, that must have been just before our Get Sexy video, and because he wrote that single with us, and I was doing the maple syrup diet, you know, where you have, because I've read Beyonce did it, you know, the
so what did that 2 liters
of water. I think it was like 2 liters of water a day with so much maple syrup and Tabasco and God knows what. It was disgusting. And I'd only started it that morning, and we were all in the studio. And by about 9 o'clock in the evening, I was like shaking, feeling really ill. And in the end, we all just went to the chippy and got fish and chips. So it didn't even just have like a nice healthy dinner. I just had a full-on chippy.
Because you were proper craving after having nothing all day. So what are you up to now then anyway, babe?
At the moment, I am knees deep in baby sensory monkey music. baby gymnastics. I'm basically at a different class every day with the little one, and I'm covered in stickers because that's an obsession at the moment. Just busy enjoying hair, basically, and enjoying family life. I'm enjoying not living out of a suitcase and being at home. You know, I was in the group for 11 years and that was wonderful, and it was amazing that I got to do that. But I mean, Richie, you'll know I miss so many big family occasions and things like that. So I just feel really lucky that I can relax and be at home with her. You know, she's only going to be at home for so many years before she has to go to school. So I just want to be involved in that and spend as much time as possible with her, enjoying it before she does have to go off to school. Do you know what you're having?
Yeah, a girl.
Oh, you are. Oh, girls are lovely.
I know. I can't. When we had the scan, just as we walk in, my husband Luke went, "Do you definitely want to know?" And I was like, "Yeah, yeah." And I was like, "Honestly, I don't mind." And then she said, yeah. She told me it was a girl. I leapt off that bed. I went, "Thank God for that." And Luke was like, "Do you want to act a bit more appropriate? We're in hospital." And I was like, "Oh, it's just made up."
So obviously, the baby's got all these plans that you have to arrange. Well, she just takes up every bit of time, isn't it? With like you say, all the clubs and that. Do you find time for your own training?
I do, but I have to kind of organise it with my husband. So yeah. I'll try and go before he goes to work in the morning, or I'll ask them to get home slightly earlier so I can make the class in the evening. Or I go on a weekend when he takes a swim in. I mean, it is difficult to get the classes in.
Yeah.
But at the moment, I'm managing 3 a week, which I'm pleased about.
I think that's amazing. So
I'd like to do more, but I'm getting 3. I'm doing they're like HIIT classes basically.
Yeah.
So I'm managing to get 3 of them in a week, and I love it actually. Aside from the physical benefits, it's the mental benefit just to go and have that hour to yourself and
that's important.
And let off some steam and feel like you're achieving something for yourself, you know. So I'm really, really enjoying that.
That's so committed as well. 3 a week for a relatively new mum, that's quite a lot.
The baby's really good. We went out for dinner the other week and she is just like, she just sat there chilled, didn't she?
Yeah, she is a good girl.
I thought you were allergic to babies.
She was the other side of the couch from me. I say that about babies, it's just the high-pitched crying when you can't console them.
Yeah.
It just really freaks me out, and I can't deal with when you've got something crying and you're like, just what's up?
That's how your fella kind of feels when you start kicking off. I think one of the things I've been quite worried about was like how quickly I'm going to be able to snap back. Do you know what I mean? Because people talk about the snap back, and obviously we're trainers, so I felt like the pressure a bit more. How quickly after having the baby did you go back to training or start introducing training?
I started training after about 3 months, and I was really lucky. There's a class round by where I live in London that's a mum and baby class, but you wear the baby in a sling. So class together and you've got the baby with you. So I really enjoyed that because it was a chance to meet other mums. You didn't feel self-conscious about the way you looked going in because we were all in the same boat. And also, you do have mum guilt, or I did at the beginning. I didn't want to leave the baby to go off and do something for just me. So the fact that I could take her with me, I wasn't leaving her, you know, for my own, I guess it sounds ridiculous, but for my own selfish reasons, that's the way I felt in my head. I felt like that was a good introduction for me. But there's lots of classes, isn't there? You know, like mum and baby classes. And I think that's quite a nice slow introduction into it, and then you get to a point where you feel like, okay, I can do a bit more now, you know, this isn't really I'm not pushing myself, you know, as far as I can.
Heidi, have you ever tried any of Richie's spin classes?
Oh no, she hasn't.
I haven't, no. I'm just not that into spin.
Yeah, but I don't, Heidi, we don't, it's not just girl. Spin, is it?
This isn't spin.
It is life-changing.
I will come and do one, Rich, I promise, I will.
Everyone's just heard this promise right now.
So you're doing your HIIT classes, and you're obviously not doing our spin classes, babe, but that's okay because you live in London. It's a big commute. But one thing that I've started doing since, I mean, I actually started doing it when I knew I was pregnant and my clients didn't know I was pregnant, but I bought a jumperoo. It's like a little baby holder where you can bounce and play with toys and let mums bring their kids to their training sessions.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Do they do anything like that down there?
Yeah, they do. There's a few friends of mine that have done like PT sessions where they can take the baby and put the baby on the mat. There's classes where you can do that as well. But I think that's brilliant because it's giving you that bit of support, isn't it? You know, to bring the baby along and start getting your confidence back and your body back and your strength. You know, before I started training, after having Aurelia, I had such a bad back from lifting it. And it wasn't until I started training, obviously I was building up my core again, that my back got better. And I really noticed that.
you've touched on quite a bit, like, about talking about you felt the pressure or almost like the guilt of when you first started training. I think that's quite common after people have a baby, that all of a sudden you do have this other person to take into account and you have all these expectations and you want to be the one that kind of says, yeah, my house is still really tidy and yeah, I can still get up and wash my hair in the morning and still look really immaculate.
And still be a mum.
Yeah, and still, lose all this weight really fast and have this massive bounce back. And like, it's one of those things that now I think was expected for a really long time, and now women are a bit more like, do you know what? That's actually not how it is, and that doesn't make us happy, and that's not realistic to expect of us. We're quite Handmaid's Tale-y, around me. Do you know what I mean?
Cool.
So what I would say is, it's really nice to hear that somebody else can say, I did also feel those pressures. So it doesn't actually matter who you are. You could be a pop star, or you could be someone sat at home listening who is just sat at home with this baby all day. Like, I can't
I think
do
it's,
what
it's
they
gotta
do.
Be. I can't imagine. I'm a man, obviously, and I'm never gonna have a baby. But I can't imagine how life changing it'd be, that, because I understand what it's like having a dog, going on holiday. What it's like, do you know what I mean? Never mind. You're now everything you do is gonna influence a life, and someone who's gonna everything you put down is an adult in the making.
But that's where I found the classes really really helpful, and what I've enjoyed about, you know, the exercise classes with other mums, but also just getting out and going to little baby classes in general, because you could have had a really rubbish night, no sleep, you feel like rubbish, you know, you're emotional, but you go out and you chat to other mums, and they're in the same boat, and you realise that that's normal, and then you'll chat to another mum who's baby slightly older, and you realise it's just a phase and it'll pass, and it's nice to just share your experiences rather than thinking, is this normal, is it not normal, should I be feeling like this, should I not, you know, and realising we don't all look perfect every day, and you know, it's just nice to have someone to talk to.
So Hyde, right, before we wrap this up, is there anything like words of advice or pearls of wisdom you can give to anyone out there who's either pregnant now or a new mum who's struggling, that's going to encourage them to
get back on
the horse? I would just say, go easy on yourself. You know, your body has done the most incredible thing. And just be kind to yourself. You know, you've got to look after yourself to be able to look after the baby. And you've done this amazing thing. You've created this life. Give yourself a pat on the back and be proud of yourself and what your body's done. Like, love your body for what it's done.
Yeah, yeah, you know what? You've just reminded me, you said something when we were in London, and you went, the most happy you've ever been with your body was after you gave birth or something, wasn't it? What was it?
It was just, you said to me, I think you said to me, when have you been most comfortable with your body? And I know a lot of women don't feel like this, because I've had this conversation with friends and they've gone, oh God, you're joking, aren't you? But for me, I was just most comfortable with it when I'd just given birth to Aurelia, because I was just in awe of what my body had done. And I just thought, it doesn't matter. Like, my weight doesn't matter. You know, it's like my body's healing. It's just done this incredible thing. And I was so proud of it. And I thought, I need to be kind to it, you know, to like give it a break.
Yeah, to yourself.
It's quite nice to hear that, actually.
No, it is. Because I remember when you said that and I was like, wow, I've never heard anyone say that before.
No, I haven't. And it's lovely. It's like a totally different perspective on it. All right, so we just want to say a massive thanks to Hardy for coming and talking to us for our very first episode. Well, you know, ring it up.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, good to speak to you, babe.
Thanks, babe.
Oh, nice to speak to you. Thank you.
Okay, guys, so at the end of every episode, we are answering your questions. If you've got any questions that you want to know, send us a little message on Twitter or Instagram at Gail Gay Gym. So, our first one, Nomad in the City, what a fab name, has sent us a message saying, "Hi, I'd love to know your best tips for meal prepping. I'm a horror in the kitchen and I think this is holding my fitness journey back. Absolutely same, hun. I am a terrible cook. I've now roped my husband into doing it and he does most of mine for me. But what I would say is Google recipes and a slow cooker is boss. One of the best things that I could say is write your plan before you go food shopping. Only prep for a few days at a time because otherwise you get bored because you'll be full of good intentions. Maybe do the same meal 10 times and 2 days in you just think, I can't eat that again. Loads of boss slow cooker recipes. I've got this obsession at the moment of putting chicken thighs in a slow cooker and then having it with, like, I don't know, whatever I fancy on the day. I wouldn't do too much. Prep all meals as well. So something like in the morning, I get a carrier bag and I'll take me porridge pot, me boiled eggs, blah, 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 and put it all in the one bag and then that's your food for the day. It also makes it easier for putting it in your MyFitnessPal or to track your food as well. Be inventive with your recipes. If you can't cook, that's fine. It doesn't matter. You don't need to be a good cook. All you need to do is use your Google. So BBC Good Food is amazing. Some of the lean and 15 meals are good, but just be conscious of the calorie content because some of them are quite high. Or Jamie's 15-minute meals are amazing as well. And boss for food preps because you could do like 3 meals in one go. And you don't need to pay for these and buy cookbooks and all this type of stuff. Literally Google it. And also Gordon Ramsay's a really good one as well. So I'd say do 3 days at a time. Plan all your meals. Write it down. Go to Aldi or whatever supermarket you go to. Get the stuff and prep it on the day. I usually force Luke to do ours on a Sunday and a Wednesday. And mix it up. Don't be afraid to like use different things as well. Because if you eat the same thing all the time, if you're bored, you'll just move on and you just won't stick to it.
Next question is from Sharfay. Hi, Sharfay. So she's asking, what's the best bit of advice you can give for someone who's embarrassed to do the other stuff that's not cardio? Like any little exercise to build up, using more weights, etc. P.S. Please draw back. You're my motivation after school. In brackets, I'm a teacher. To get my butt into gear and go to the gym. Well, first of all, glad to be motivated. Yeah, I'm going to take this in terms of you only go for a run and to go for a run, sorry, or maybe go to the odd class, whatever, and you don't know what you're doing in the gym, so you feel a bit self-conscious. So there's a few things we can touch on. If you're a member of a gym, you can book in a program with most of them with a fitness instructor there, and it's usually included in the membership. And they'll be able to go through everything for you to show you how to do it safely and effectively to work towards what it is you want to get out of it. Again, you've got the chance, the choice to go to a personal trainer. Or if it's just self-conscious, get a mate, go in the gym. All the machines have directions on to get you building up. So if you've never used weights before, I'd start with the machine weights in the gym. They'll have a diagram of what muscle it uses, exactly how to adjust it to use it, and then if you're ever unsure, just ask someone, Google it, YouTube, just do it, stop thinking about it. What are you embarrassed for? You're not sat in the chippy, you're in the gym, you're doing what's needed to change your body. I'd be more self-conscious if you were in Mackie's.
You've been listening to Hattie Jeffries, also known as the Gym Bird, and Richie Swan, also known as Richie Swan, on A Girl and a Gay in the Gym. If you've enjoyed this podcast, then please subscribe, rate, and review it on Apple Podcasts now to help more people hear about it. And don't forget to follow the socials at Girl Gay Gym on Instagram and Twitter.